Good morning. I'm Bella Johnson. You're listening to Alternative Currents. Rarely do I read an entire author profile that's sent to me from a publisher, but in this case, I'm going to. Michael Duff Newton, PhD, holds a doctorate in counseling psychology, is a certified master hypnotherapist, and is a member of the American Counseling Association. Now retired, he has also been on the faculty of higher educational institutions as a teacher while active in private practice in Los Angeles. Over many years, Dr. Newton developed his own intensive age regression techniques in order to effectively take hypnosis subjects beyond their past life memories to a more meaningful soul experience between lives. He is considered to be a pioneer in uncovering the mysteries about life after death through the use of spiritual hypnotic regression. He now trains other advanced hypnotherapists in his techniques. Dr. Newton is the author of two best-selling books, Journey of Souls, Case Studies of a Life Between Lives, published by Llewellyn, and Destiny of Souls, New Case Studies of Life Between Lives, also Llewellyn. Together, they have been translated into 15 different languages. Dr. Newton has an international reputation as a spiritual regressionist who has mapped out much of our life between lives experience. He has appeared on numerous national radio and TV talk shows to explain our immortal life in the spirit world. He is an active speaker on the lecture circuit discussing his life-altering research of the afterlife and our purpose on Earth. His newest book, published also by Llewellyn, is Life Between Lives, Hypnotherapy for Spiritual Regression, which, for the first time, reveals his methods in approaching and accessing the spiritual realms. In 1998, Dr. Newton received the annual award of Most Unique Contribution by a Hypnotherapist from the National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists. He was honored for his years of soul memory research and pioneering clinical discoveries into the cosmology of our afterlife. This award is given to outstanding hypnotherapists whose work clearly demonstrates the bridging of mind, body, and spirit through the use of hypnotherapy. In 2001, Destiny of Souls was awarded New Age Book of the Year by independent publisher during the annual Book Exposition of America. And perhaps you will understand why I read this in its entirety when we meet our guest. I would like to welcome to the show Michael Newton, PhD, author of Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, and Life Between Lives. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, Bella. It's delightful to be here.
Well, it looks like you've really done some pioneering research, and I'm excited to have a conversation with you today about that. Can you describe, if you don't mind, what led you to doing this type of work? Was it just a natural outcropping of what you were doing, and it came to you, or how?
Well, it didn't happen that way, Bella. I have to go back now almost 45 years. I go back to the year of the Bridie Murphy case in 1956 when I began my practice in Los Angeles, and really, all those early years, I was a very traditional psychologist, hypnotherapist. I primarily worked with childhood trauma, emotional and physical trauma, with clients. And people once in a while, Bella, would call me and say, well, since you do hypnotherapy, and we've heard about this interesting case, the Bridie Murphy case of the young girl in Ireland, which was a sensation that year, can you work with us? And I very imperiously said, no, I'm not a metaphysical therapist, thank you. I don't do those sorts of things, and you'll have to find somebody else. Mm-hmm. Little did I know what lay ahead. And so as time went on, Bella, I continued to refuse people who would ask about just past life regression, because that was what was coming into its own during those particular years. As far as life between lives, I mean, you never heard of this. It's something really fairly new. So what happened to me was this. I had this man who had a presenting problem of a pain in his side. And when he called me, he did not mention anything about past life regression, or I wouldn't have seen him. So what his presenting problem was a pain in his side, and he said he'd been to numerous doctors, and they all said, well, this is a psychosomatic illness. The x-rays show nothing. We really can't help you. And he told them it was getting worse, and they just had gone as far as they could. So what he thought was, maybe I could take him into his childhood and discover that, oh, he might have fallen on a kitchen knife or something, and maybe I could deprogram that. And so I agreed to see him. Well, we went through all of his childhood, and nothing was revealed at all. Now, this man, Bella, was a particularly good hypnosis subject. In other words, he went very deep very quickly. In fact, he got a little ahead of me. He was a very somnambulistic patient. And so finally, in frustration, I said to this man, I want you to go to the source of your pain, to the very first time this happened. And we were suddenly in a past life. He was in the Battle of the Somme in the First World War. It was July 1st, 1916, and he was being bayoneted by a German soldier. He was a British Army sergeant, and I couldn't believe what was happening to me. I just thought, this can't be true. You know, I knew, I of course, always had feelings about reincarnation as a very interesting philosophy. But this was my first graphic case that I had in my own office of this man describing this particular battle. The interesting thing is, Bill, that I know a lot about history and this part of our history, and that was a terrible day. There were some 20,000 people killed that particular day in the First World War. So, well, the poor guy's dying in the mud. Rather than deprogramming him, I'm asking about his name, rank, and serial number. I mean, this is awful. I just shudder every time I think of it. But I found out that he was in the British 4th Corps, for example, in the 34th Division, and his rank, and what time of day, and who was doing what. And finally, out of pity, I finally realized that I was going to have to do something for this person. And so what I did was, I deprogrammed this wound just as if it had, in fact, happened earlier in this life, and it worked. And so, that was the end of it. I took him out of it, and we talked a lot about what had happened, and then he left my office. And I'm sitting there staring at the wall wondering what happened. So what I did was, Bella, I reviewed the case on tape. I taped all my clients in those days. Listened carefully to all the things that he said. I contacted the British War Office, the British Imperial Museum, to find out if such a man actually existed, and in fact he did. And they thought I was a member of the family because I knew so much. So over a period of months, I realized that this, in fact, had happened to me, and this gentleman was for real. So with that case, I began to explore more into past life regression. But the strange thing about all this is that it was a number of years before I had my actual first spirit world case. That is, a case where somebody went between lives. And it was this case that really ushered me into an area that had not been explored before. We're talking now about the late 60s, early 70s. So in this particular case, Bella, I had a middle-aged woman who came to see me with a presenting problem that centered around her feelings of isolation and loneliness. She felt a kind of a disassociation with humanity. And so what she said to me was, well, I have a terrible yearning to be with old friends that I've seen in dreams, but that I do not see in this life. So thinking in this case that I could help her perhaps with a past life regression and working with who her soul mates were in former lives to find out if it was true, in fact, that no one was around today to give her comfort and so forth. We did this. We explored her childhood. We explored past lives. And most recent past lives didn't seem to turn up anything. So finally, I asked if there was at any time in her adult life where there were missing people. The answer was no. We worked with childhood playmates. The answer was no. We explored a number of past lives. The answer was no. Finally, as with the case of the World War I soldier, I said, I want you to go to the time in your existence when you did not feel lonely because you're with a group of friends. Now, Bella, what I didn't realize was that I had used a trigger word when I said group. And with this, once again, we have a client who went especially deep, very, very deep, very quickly. And she was a very, these are unusual clients that can do this without a lot of preparation. And what she was telling me was, as she began to cry and sort of point to my office wall, and she said, all of my friends are here in front of me. And I'm thinking, where are we? Are we in another past life that we haven't talked about? She said, oh, no. They're in the spirit world. These are souls that I see between my lives. And we learned that they weren't here in her current life because she was a soul that needed to be more independent from leaning on other souls, which she had done in the past. And so we learned a lot from this case. And once again, I was brought kicking and screaming into a deeper engagement with, you know, spirituality and metaphysics and so forth. So that's kind of a long-winded explanation, Bella, of my history of coming into this.
Well, well put. You mentioned a word that I heard a lot. I also was, I was raised actually in the Los Angeles area, and in 1956 when you started doing this work, I was 3 years old. So,
well, you really know how to age a person.
Well, no, but I mean, I was there. I was actually, you know, near the work that you were doing, and so I'm familiar with the culture, the kind of subculture that took place in Southern California around the time I was growing up, and it was very innovative. What you were doing would have been extremely innovative, even in California, where people think, you know, all the weirdos live.
Yeah, this is the cutting edge here.
Absolutely. So interesting.
So, you know, what happened after that, Bella, is I just concentrated as time went on, and I just became so fascinated by this field. The thing that really hooked me was the fact that regardless of whether a client came to see me, as a person who was deeply religious, or someone who had no religion at all, or some philosophical persuasion in between, once they had them in deep hypnosis, and by the way, that took me some time to develop, they all told me the same thing. So it was the consistency of the reports of what happens to us after death, and where we go, and who we see, and how we choose our bodies for the next life, that really hooked me into this research to such an extent that I just didn't want to see any other clients anymore that did not want to have life between life regression. So that's how I built up the thousands of cases which eventually led to the books that you've mentioned at the top of the show.
And let me mention them again. We are speaking with Dr. Michael Newton, author of Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, and Life Between Lives, all published by Llewellyn Press. The word I was trying to get to when I started talking about being raised in that part of California, that I heard a lot as when I was a young person growing up and had all kinds of strange, imbalanced kind of things that doctors couldn't put a finger on, I heard that word psychosomatic a lot. We don't hear that so much anymore because we finally, somehow 50 years later, I think, discovered that there is a link between mind and body. But it's interesting, you know, you think of somatic or somnambulitic or whatever.
Yeah.
It is interesting how back in the day when that was being so thrown around, especially for women, that you would have started doing this kind of research. I just find that fascinating.
Well, that's true, Bella. And what has happened over the years since the publications of my books and the founding of a society now that is composed of these advanced hypnotherapists who do this kind of work, I've trained them and they do marvelous work, is that we are seeing more and more those issues that we carry as an immortal being into a current temporary body. And I think this is so important for people to realize that one of the great aspects of therapy in working with people between their lives is that they find out what their real character is like. That is, that character that does not change much from life to life. What changes are the brains of the bodies that they take when they come into a new existence. So what you have here is the temperament of a temporary brain combined with the immortal character of a soul to produce one personality in one lifetime. a lot of people, you know, you've heard this, I'm sure, Bella. People will stare into a mirror and say, you know, is this the real me?
Oh, sure.
And they'll kind of ask themselves these crazy questions that they may not reveal to their friends, because maybe something about who or what they are doesn't seem to quite align with the body that they have, and yet they think they're crazy because there can't be such a difference. But what I have learned, and what is so helpful to people who do this kind of work as clients, is that you could have, for example, a soul combating the need to control others, or, say, fighting self-indulgence. And that soul might be comfortable working in conjunction with a brain, we'll say, that's disposed to aggressive behavior and maybe inclined towards, self-gratification. And this mixture of soul self and biological self with the same relevance in terms of ego could be volatile. And on the other hand, you could have a soul who wants to work in opposition to the brain in a current life in order to gain from that association. I mean, you could have a low-energy passive soul who might want a highly emotional, restless body in order to combat a natural inclination to being fearful and not taking risks. So there is this push-me-pull-you aspect of our lives in each of the bodies that we inhabit. And I think when clients understand this, it goes to a lot of issues that are troubling in their current lives. It's a new form of therapy, Bella, and I think it's going to take its place in psychotherapy in the decades ahead.
Yes, like allopathic medicine in that model, the change that we're seeing in that model, certainly psychology is undergoing similar changes and growth, no doubt. You mentioned the kind of imbalance between the body and the soul. You talk in your book, Journey of Souls, about the displaced soul. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, displaced, you can have a displaced soul can really come from a couple of different directions. It's a general term, and I use it in that way because it describes different aspects of what can happen. The one that we have just talked about is where you could have a soul that feels displaced in the particular body that they're in because they wanted certain things to happen when they requested that type of body. And our spiritual masters, we haven't talked about this, work a lot in helping us choose from a series of bodies that they think might work for us in terms of moving ahead with our development. But that doesn't mean that this is always a happy, harmonious situation. So you can have displaced souls who just are like fish out of water with a particular body that they have. Sometimes it leads tragically to suicide. People just can't handle this. There is another type of displaced soul who's a soul that is, for example, has had their early experience on another world before they came to Earth. I call them hybrid souls. These are souls whose worlds, former worlds, have gone into Nova. They're no longer in existence, or perhaps they've felt, and their guides have felt, that they've learned all they can on that particular world. They want more of a challenge, whatever, and they're assigned to Earth. And so sometimes in the early lives on Earth that these souls have, they feel as also like a fish out of water, that this strange body that they're still getting used to, even though they may have had a couple of lives on Earth, they're still not fully in vibrational sync yet with the brains that they're occupying, and so they feel displaced. A third case of displacement could be where you would have perhaps a very young soul that's had little or no past life experience, a rather beginner-type, underdeveloped soul, coming into a human body and being overwhelmed by this. So, Bella, it's complex. It relates to every client that you have, what their particular situation is. This is why the training is difficult. We take a lot of people who want this kind of training and look carefully at their backgrounds in terms of experience and academics and so forth, and we're very selective about the people we take for life between life training, We want hypnotherapists that have had a solid background in hypnotherapy and some years of experience where they can, you know, demonstrate that they're capable of this kind of work. So, you know, it goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about in terms of being helpful to people with regard to therapy.
Now you talk about, I'm sure one of the biggest questions in listeners' minds right now is, where can I get this done?
Well, that is something I'm very happy that you've mentioned, because we have a website now. So I'd like to give your listeners our website, and you can click on this website, and it will help you with referrals for Life Between Lives therapists who live in your general area. Now, I don't want your listeners to think that there's going to be one in their town necessarily. If they're in Chicago, that's no problem. But if they're in Bangor, Maine, they may need to drive down to a larger city. So anyway, the website is www.spiritualregression.org. www.spiritualregression.org. And with that, they can click onto the tab that says referrals and, you know, go from there. Now, Bella, we have another website for hypnosis professionals who are interested in training. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to give that one as well.
No, please go ahead.
It's www.lifebetweenlives, all run together as one word, lowercase, .org. www.lifebetweenlives.org. So those, I think, websites will be very helpful for people. If people want to write to me about some specific question that they have, I'd encourage people to keep it short, because I get hundreds of letters every month. They need to write me in care of the publisher, and that address is on the first page of my books. Always include a self-addressed stamped envelope with that, because I do receive an awful lot of letters. So that ought to be helpful to your listeners, Bella.
Well, thank you. Yes, that's great. What about people whose religion or spiritual beliefs challenge them to accept past life as such? How can they benefit from the Life Between Lives kind of work that is done here?
My oldest friend is a Catholic priest who's somewhat metaphysical. That seems very contradictive, but it's certainly true in his case. And there are many aspects of the conservative aspects of the Christian church which do touch on reincarnation. Now, typically, to answer this question, the first question that needs to be asked of a person is, are you far enough along with your belief system in terms of reincarnation that you would be willing to make an appointment and see one of the people that I've talked about on our website? Now, you don't have to believe in reincarnation. You can, and I had many clients who didn't.
Right.
I had many atheists, for example, Bella, who didn't believe in anything,
right,
much less being conservative Christians, for example, who had a very rigid sense of belief. And once again, if they are capable of going in hypnosis, and I get them deep enough, they're going to all tell me the same thing. But I think it's helpful for people who are very religious to look carefully at their lives, and this may not be for them. They may be people who feel very strongly that they cannot believe in reincarnation in any way, and so those folks aren't going to probably want to come to a hypnotherapist that will help them access former lives in their Life Between Lives. So it kind of depends on where people are in their life and their belief system, what they're seeking right now, what kind of a path they're on. You know, there's a lot of variables here.
Yeah, I mean, what about a person who's, I mean, I think we're all wondering what happens after the lights go out, you know, wonder what happens when we die. And I wonder if it would be helpful. I mean, I certainly have no belief restrictions in this regard, but I am wondering about people like members of my own family who would have a hard time with that, but no doubt have serious questions about where they go after they die that are answered by their religion, but at that point of death and dying become very afraid. So
they
I
do.
Just wondered if this would be helpful to people like that.
Mm-hmm. That's true, Bella. And And actually, where you see what you've just described, I can name one place, is hospice.
Yes.
And I've had some association with hospice. And, you know, and when you bring up a very interesting point, sometimes the most religious people find, when they get very close to death, that they're fearful. There's a dread. They worry, as do others who are not so religious, not so much about the pain of death itself, but of their feelings that there could be nothingness that follows death. The great fear I've learned is that if death means oblivion, this is the end of our personhood. And so this, the mystery of death, makes life more precious, and I think that's the way it was intended. This is why we have these amnesic blocks that prevent us from knowing about the other side, and that hypnotherapy has broken down a little bit. We fight hard against death, and we should do this. And we do this because we think it threatens our personal identity. And I think that's built in to us at the time of our birth. So I have great respect for people who are religious people, because I had no faith of my own at all many years ago when I began. And I hope today I'm a spiritual person. I may not have an attachment to organized religion or religious institutions, but I sure hope I become spiritual. And I owe my clients for bringing me to the party on that score. So I think a lot of it, my books are certainly not anti-religious. The moral precepts of religions include charity and compassion and love and kindness, and this is the message that you find in my books, as I've had clients describe their life after death. As long as we're on the subject of religion, you know, Bella, when clients cross over with belief systems that there is a hell and devil and fire and the brimstone and all this, and they find that no such thing exists and has never existed in their lives, they really do question some of these medieval precepts that we're here to be punished if we don't do the right thing. There's a lot of ways in which we can redress bad karma, but being sent to a place that of fire where we have demonic beings around it is not one of them. And, you know, when you think about a loving God who creates souls and then helps place them into bodies that are on physical existences with all the fallibilities that go with that, on places like Earth, you'd have to have a pretty uncompassionate God who would punish you if you don't always do the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's not something, with thousands of cases, that I've ever found to be true. And I think this, too, is a comfort for people who are getting close to death or are in very ill health.
Right. Well, it's about time to take a break, and we can do that. You are listening to Alternative Currents on WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 Bangor. You can listen to live radio now on the web, www.weru.org. We are now broadcasting worldwide. And speaking today, I'm Bella Johnson, speaking with Michael Newton, PhD, author of Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, and Life Between Lives on that very subject. Be back in a couple.
Thank you.
speaking today on Alternative Currents is Michael Newton, author of Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, and Life Between Lives, published by Llewellyn Press. You can learn more by going to the website www.spiritualregression.org if you're looking for a practitioner in this area that does life between life therapy. And for hypnotherapists who are interested in being trained to do this by Dr. Newton's people and himself at times, lifebetweenlives.org will get you there. So welcome back, Michael.
Well, thank you, Bella. Our next training program in the United States, by the way, is in next April in Colorado for those listeners who are in the field of hypnotherapy.
Great. What is the nature of this place that we go to between lives, according to most of your clients? Are there some common threads that run through your subjects?
First of all, when a client crosses over, I have to be very aware of the state of development of this client. This is an important ingredient, Bella, when you're working with people, because all souls have differences in terms of their state of development and how long they've been around. I mean, you could have a soul, for example, I had one fellow that I remember very fondly. It took him 4,000 years to conquer jealousy. And I can tell you that he has conquered jealousy now in his current life, but he's intolerant as hell, and that's his next major lesson. So you can have souls that have been around a long, long time but are proceeding kind of slowly. You can have other souls that haven't been around so long, maybe only 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years, and yet they're progressing very fast. So one of the things when I train therapists to look for is the state of development of the soul, and there's all sorts of ways to do this that I describe in my book. So anyway, that's something you need to be aware of. And the reason for it is it begins right away when they cross over into the spirit world. Now, there are clients who wish to stay around the astral plane of Earth for a while. Often these are younger souls. They want to go to their funerals. They want to spend a lot of time with their loved ones. Not that this can't be done from the spirit world, but a lot of times a young developing soul isn't quite ready to leave at the moment of death, and they stay longer, and their guides are with them to help them with this. But let's just take the average typical case. I mean, a more advanced soul would move immediately out of Earth's astral plane and go through the process that I'm going to describe to you now. Let's just take an average soul. When people cross over, they're often met either by loved ones who have died before them, or by their guides. And if the loved ones meet them and spend a little time with them, that's fine, but very soon our spirit guides take over. Now, one of the most profound experiences for any subject in hypnosis is to see their spirit guides for the first time. I get people who become so tearful. I mean, I have to have a box of Kleenex handy, because they may go through half a box before we can get back on track again, because it's such an emotional experience to see this loving being who has been with you since your creation, who is your major teacher, in front of your eyes as you visualize this. This is the person, the being, if you will, who meets you after death and escorts you into the spirit world. These are not religious figures. These are teachers. And they have been assigned to you and a few others, and I'll just say that they're generally organized in groups, and you can have 15, 20 souls in a group, and all of you would have the same teacher. So that's the kind of assignments that they have. Now, from there, they move deeper into the spirit world, where they rejoin their soul groups. And these soul groups, as I say, can vary between 3 or 4 people, depending on who's evolved out into more advanced work, up to as many as 25. And it is a reunion with their soul group, which is another great emotional experience for souls. These are where they see their soulmates and all those soul companions that they've been associated with, many in the life just lived and in other lives. From there, and sometimes they're given a homecoming party, kind of. It's you hear really fun stories. From there, they may move into classroom situations where they study those areas in which they fell perhaps a little short. They needed to review, and there are ways in which we can review our mistakes in former lives. Very oftentimes, right around this period, they go see an even higher group of wise beings than their spirit guide, and their spirit guide will escort them there. These are called many names. I hear the word elders a lot, council a lot. I hear, you know, the wise ones, the sacred ones. There's many names. But when they're in front of these very, very wise beings, this is not a courtroom situation. There are no black robes. They're here as benevolent counselors to review all of your span of lives and to talk to you about what you think would be the kind of life that is coming up next that you would like to have, and what kind of body would you like to have. So, you know, and our guides are very much a part of these discussions. You know, it often begins with, welcome back. We're glad to see you again. And how was your last life? What can you tell us about what you learned and what problems you had, this sort of thing. There are a lot of activities in the spirit world after these early events, Bella, there, and I describe them in my book. The souls are involved with all sorts of spiritual activities, but eventually that time comes when they're going to return to a new life. And this is the life selection period, and it's a very important period, and they go to a special place where they kind of screen the bodies that have been offered to them. They can even climb into the minds of these bodies. And what we're dealing with here are physical beings that have not yet been born. This is pretty wild. I'm throwing a lot at you in a short period of time.
Yeah, we have a listenership that'll appreciate this.
And that's when they select the body that they're going to have in the next life. So these things that I've described to you, Bella, are in one form or another exist in the minds of every person. It's just a question of, you know, getting them out and discussing them.
I'm going to switch things up a bit here. The kind of turmoil that the world is in right now, particularly this country, participating in other countries' governments and that sort of thing. You talk about in your books, well, let me just actually read a piece. In every era of Earth's bloody history, there's always been a significant number of souls unable to resist and successfully counter human cruelty. Certain souls whose hosts have a genetic disposition to abnormal brain chemistry are particularly at risk in a violent environment, and so on. I wonder how you would classify what is going on as far as America as a group of souls, particularly what keeps drawing souls into controlling other beings. Anything you can say in this regard that would be helpful to people as and another election is coming up and so on would be wonderful.
The thing about it is, and I have to be very careful not to be preachy about this, because after all, we're all in the same boat here. We exist in biological bodies that have had a long history of aggression and violence. And you only have to go back, anyone who studied history knows, you go back to the Stone Age, and the fight-or-flight syndrome, which existed in our early brains, is still with us today. We are an aggressive people. I'm talking now about the entire world population. Of course, we have certain individuals like Mother Teresa, which are people we can look up to, but I'm talking about now, in general, the average person. There are souls, Bella, who will not incarnate on Earth. I had a client a number of years ago, I'll never forget her, who came to see me from Tokyo, Japanese lady. She said, we get kudos for coming to Earth because this is such a difficult school here. I have friends who will not incarnate on Earth or who have incarnated in a few lives and can't take it anymore. They ask for other assignments. So, first of all, you have a soul that comes through in a baby as pure and you know, their character hasn't been, how can I say, sullied by the human brain yet. They come in innocent, and then as time goes on and with the association with this particular body and other bodies like it, we begin to get into those karmic issues that cause us to get into trouble. And the question is, how are we going to deal with it? Everything here is a lesson. And it may not always be a comforting thing to know, but I believe that nothing truly of any import happens by accident. That each of us is here to learn certain lessons. We incarnate into certain bodies in certain lifetimes in certain cultures and geographic areas to learn lessons that we still have not been able to conquer. And the thing about this work is it makes you realize that coming to a place like Earth is a huge challenge. And if there is a divine order of purpose for us as souls, it's to get through this and eventually evolve in human bodies to a place where we are no longer violently concerned about harming others, having wars, terrible nationalistic belief systems that make my belief system better than yours, and therefore yours doesn't deserve to exist, this sort of thing. A smugness and self-centeredness that is not unique to the human body. The souls that combat this, some of them are not in very good shape. They're not warrior souls, and they're just absolutely overwhelmed by all this violence. But you got to remember this, Bella. Any historian who looks at all the centuries that we've had of violence and war knows that we are progressing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I make this statement at lectures, people will sometimes look up and say, "You've got to be kidding. We have this war in Iraq and all this and that is going on." And I'll say, look back at the beginning of the 20th century. What was going on in the year 1900? And take us all the way through the 20th century with major wars, millions of people killed. Today, the dictators are fewer. I mean, we had the Hitlers and Stalins and Mao Zedongs, but I believe that overall the world is better today than it was 100 years or 50 years ago. I think we're making progress. I think that there is more compassion and understanding with the right of other peoples to exist. I mean, we may not always see evidence of this, but if you look at it very slowly, we are acquiring a conscience. I think the United Nations is more, you know, relevant today than it ever has been in the past, although there are times we abuse it. And I don't want to get political here, but I think if you look back over the whole course of history of human existence and violence, I honestly believe we're getting better. It's slow, and at times we slip back, but I can imagine a couple of centuries from now us looking back at this century and saying, well, we certainly were going through a lot, but we're in a lot better place now. So I do believe, Bella, we're making progress. We have a situation now with overpopulation that we've never had before that is causing problems with people not understanding their identity. We have a situation with drugs that is clouding the brains of young people so that their souls can't function. We've never had the prevalence of drugs like we have today. We've had certainly alcohol in past centuries, but nothing like what we have today in terms of hard drugs. So this is another major challenge for us. And these are all barriers in the road for us to get over, and they're not easy. But I think eventually we will conquer these things.
Right. And in some way, I mean, obviously, all these souls have chosen to incarnate on Earth at this particular time. And those of us who are in this country and Iraq and so on, wherever tension exists, have chosen to incarnate in these specific areas.
That's
true?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. And that's hard for some people to believe that we had a choice in this. We do have free will. It seems like sometimes with people who will say to me, gosh, you know, I don't seem to have any free will at all. I'm shoved into this merry-go-round. I can't jump off of it. I guess I have a destiny that I can't combat very well. And that's not true. We're given many possibilities to make choices about different things. So that's a part of our existence, Bella.
So in your experience, Michael, have clients and all these experiences that you've had with them pointed to the fact that there is an oversoul of sorts? Okay, can you talk about that a little?
Yeah. The thing is, first of all, the first line of defense here, and I want to bring this up again, are our spirit guides. Now, a lot of people who are very religious feel that their guardian angels are who watch over them, and I would never take away from this, but quite often when a client's in deep hypnosis and they think that they're looking at a religious figure, I just tell them to take their time and let this figure get a little close to them, and very quickly they realize it's their guide. So our spirit guides are really the first line of defense. Some are more hands-on than others when it comes to helping us. It's not a hierarchy, but it's simply a placement of wise beings. You have what I called the council a few minutes ago, the elders who talk to us about our past lives and our future. Now, no one has ever claimed in deep hypnosis that they've seen God. Some people say God, sometimes they'll call it an oversoul or the source, and really the semantics don't matter. What they feel is an overpowering presence of power that exists even beyond that of their elders on their council. Oftentimes, when they're in these council chambers, they sense this powerful presence. Now, they can't put their finger on it. I give a number of quotes in my second book, Destiny of Souls, to describe some of the things that people have said about this presence, because it's hard for them to put their finger on this because it's not personalized. It's just a powerful presence that they feel that seems to be orchestrating what's going on, and to have this vast knowledge of all of these things that people who are still incarnating have a hard time even fathoming. So I do believe, Bella, that yes, there is this element of an oversoul or source or God that people sense in hypnosis. It's just that they don't personalize it.
Right. Well, what I'm wondering about that is if all souls kind of tie into this main soul, the number, the 6 billion or so souls that are incarnate on Earth right now, how would that play out group-wise?
The same souls continue to incarnate life after life. You also have new souls that are being created all the time for the increased number of bodies. So the number of souls that are on Earth really doesn't impact upon this powerful oversoul, or maybe it's a committee of oversouls who in turn have an even more powerful one above them. I mean, you know, that's possible. So, you know, we get into a lot of this dimensional, you know, how many dimensions are we in, and who's in charge of what dimension? So, I mean, there's a lot of different ramifications of this.
Yeah, it's not where I'm trying to go. I guess what I'm trying to go to is if we evolve this piece, in literally both and figuratively. In other words, if we become less warlike, more peaceful, and so on, is there a certain benefit that will happen?
Oh,
do you
yes,
say what I'm saying? Yes. Yes,
yes.
To...
Where is the carrot? Well, let me tell you, this is a pretty straightforward answer. There will come that time when we don't have to incarnate in human bodies anymore, that the souls who have developed more and more will come to fruition as advanced souls, and eventually we will phase Earth out, perhaps, as a training school. And that, of course, is the end of you know, the result of souls coming and returning to Earth time after time after time. They are evolving. And one of the interesting things for me, and I talked about this a little while back, is the stage of development. Every so often, I'll get a highly advanced soul in my office, and they don't escape me very easy, Bella. I do keep them most hypnosis sessions for life between lives last between 3 and 4 hours. They're not short. But when I used to get occasionally an advanced soul, it was just lots of fun for me to just pump them for as much information as I could get. And, of course, what you hear quite often with souls like that is that they are sort of nearing the end of the time when they're going to have to incarnate. And what's going to happen to them? Well, some naturally are going to become spirit guides themselves so that they can return to help others. But others go into all sorts of other activities, and I describe this in my books of what, you know, the personality traits are, or the character traits, rather, of souls and why they're attracted to certain kinds of endeavors. So, you know, because you can have souls that work on the creation of worlds and living things and inanimate objects. You don't have to just have souls that are going to be spirit guides. So there's a lot of other aspects to that. But yes, that is the ultimate, that there will come that time when you don't have to go through this anymore, that it is reincarnation is not endless. You know, there are some Eastern religions that believe that when you end your reincarnations, you're taken into a nirvana, where you have an eternal existence of bliss. I don't believe that. I think that there is an interim stage, and the interim stage is that now it's payback time, that you have to help others who are less developed than you are in order to achieve that, you know, place where you are now at. And there's a responsibility here, and souls very much feel this when they get into the more advanced levels, and it's interesting to watch.
Well, again, I presume you've gotten all of this information that you're relaying out of the research that you've done with your clients, and wonder if they have given you an indication that spirit guides come back and incarnate in flesh bodies to help on that level.
Well, yeah, that's what I just mentioned, Bella, that these highly advanced souls know that they're going to be taking other responsibilities soon, one of which will be that of spirit guide themselves. And there are student spirit guides. There are those who are in an interim level who still incarnate once in a while,
okay,
but they work between lives with souls who need help.
Right. Boy, this hour has just about flown by. We have about 4 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to relay that you don't want to?
Yes, I think, Bella, that's important that people realize that you have your own unique individuality as a person. I think it's important, even if you're never going to have a hypnosis session, that you meditate each day on who you are and why you are here. I believe it's so important in this troubled world that we go inward occasionally and turn off the radios and the TVs and quietly be by ourselves so that we can get in touch with that identity. The other thing I think it's really important is to treat others with respect and kindness. You know, we do have a lot of hate and jealousy and anger, pride and intolerance in this world. And I think it's incumbent upon each of us to try to improve that. I believe that it is important for every person to know that they are unique and that they have a contribution to make in our society, and this is why they are here. And it is one of the things I talk a lot about at my lectures. So, you know, Bella, I feel very privileged to have been able to get these insights about our life after death from so many wonderful people. I mean, you know, when I began my research all those years ago, I worked alone. And, you know, today I have all this assistance and all this information that came to me from so many people. And really, it's made my own life a lot more meaningful because I've sort of become a messenger now for this. And I think it's important that people just not lose hope because of what they read in the newspapers every day.
Right. And take responsibility.
Yes,
for this,
absolutely.
For this mm-hmm. life that we've been given. Yeah.
Right.
Again, listeners, we have been speaking today on Alternative Currents with Michael Newton, PhD, author of Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, and Life Between Lives. These all published by Llewellyn Press and available anywhere. You can go to Michael Newton's website do you have your own website, Michael, or just the spiritual?
No, I don't. I'm computer illiterate.
Oh, that's
I have some very smart people who run our website, and they, you know, I'm from a different age, Bella. You sort of guessed that.
That's okay.
And so they're the ones that run our website, and they're very skillful.
Yeah. And so this website that you can go to see if you can have a regression done in this area, if that's something that you're interested in, and that's, again, a regression into life between lives rather than early life in this life regression, www.spiritualregression.org. And for hypnotherapists who may be listening, who are interested in being trained to do this kind of work, you may go to lifebetweenlives.org. And would like to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Well, Bella, it's been a real pleasure, and you've asked wonderful questions, and it's sure the time has really flown by.
It really definitely has. You've been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much.
And thank you
very much.
Best to
you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And again, if you're interested in live stream radio broadcast from WERU, the show included, you can go to www.weru.org and hear us online anywhere you are. Thanks for listening to Alternative Currents, and we'll be talking to you again first Friday next month at 10 a.m. Thank you.